It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy hump day, everyone, and welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio. Another edition of Overtime is clocking in 6:02 on your Wednesday evening out here in beautiful Knoxville, Tennessee. FM 105.7, AM 1340, Fan Run Radio app, fanrunradio.com, the live stream, and we're also coming to you live on video via Periscope. Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist, and Matt King are in the house today. Gentlemen, what's up? Staying warm out there? Another chilly one this morning. It did warm up a little bit, and by warm up for what we've been going through this week, like the mid-40s was considered warming up.
It's cold, man. I'm not used to this.
It's like, oh God, what's the Michael Irvin tweet? All caps, man. When we play in that cold weather, we was cold.
That's how I feel right now.
Send tweet.
I feel like Jim Jones, man. It's a little just. It's not PG though.
Tapping your foot.
It's getting out of hand now.
Get out.
It's getting out of hand.
Only the real ones know.
What's up, man?
Only the real ones.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
What's up?
Another good day, Justin. Matt,
doing well. The snow is mostly melted off the ground, but it's still hanging around. It kept snowing a little bit last night after the show ended,
but
it kind of tapered off, and it was a beautiful day, but just chilly. Matt, how was campus?
It was awful. It's been a very miserable day.
How much did you have to walk out in that freezing Arctic tundra?
Like, really not that much at all, but because I didn't have to go outside at all yesterday, it really hit me. Because both my classes yesterday got canceled. Both my teachers.
Wait,
just
really?
Yeah, both of my teachers just didn't even bother with the snow.
Respect.
So I slept in until like 12:30.
Respect.
I had my PJs on all day. It was awesome. And then today was just brutal.
Bro, I'm jealous, man. I didn't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I didn't. So I'm jealous, man.
Yeah, I tried to appreciate it as much as I could.
Well, hey, at least you're appreciative. You're not taking it for granted.
Don't take it for granted, man.
Never.
Did you get to go to the game last night, Matt?
Like I said, I was not trying to go outside at all. Just turn on my TV.
So you were dedicated.
Oh, I went all in.
Okay. You were dedicated to not going outside.
Absolutely. Not dealing with that cold.
Well, it's okay. You got to stay in, stay warm while the balls heated things up in the second half.
Mm.
Oh, that's what they did. Guys, be honest. How nervous were you last night during the first half? And really, I would say more than the first half. I'm trying to think of when the run really started. It was almost for what I would say the first half of the second half, I guess. That Murray State really was keeping that one close as well. Malcolm, you almost called it yesterday, man.
Man, I almost turned on the PlayStation after the first half because I was like, man, I'm not trying to see this.
It was frustrating.
It's going to be a long year.
You did say last night that you would think that it would be a game around the under 8 timeout, and it really kind of was.
Yep.
It really kind of was. So before we get into the game.
Talk to me.
Were y'all worried at all last night? Like seriously worried that it was going to be a big old L?
Not too bad. We did. I mean, we were pretty slow, but I was distracted by the Kentucky game, and so I wasn't really paying attention whilst we were struggling. And then flipped back over, and started watching again once we started cleaning things up.
Matt, were you nervous at all last night?
I wasn't nervous about them dropping the game because they would have taken an L. I know someone who goes to Murray State, and I just wouldn't have heard the end of it. So I was more worried about that.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. I feel like as a fan base, naturally,
we do overreact a whole lot during the middle of games. I especially feel like that's a little bit true for basketball, just because this team is going to be very easy to get frustrated by.
Of course.
They're going to be so easy to get frustrated by because this isn't last year's team that can just easily dispatch opponents like this from the get-go. Now, as I said, things heated up in the second half once your key players got going, once your de facto alpha dogs on this team, like Jordan Bowden, got going. Oh, when he got going, he couldn't be stopped. Ends with a career-high 26 points.
Deadly, man.
6 of 8 from deep. When he hit the heat check to go up 11, I almost I was playing the Vince Carter gif in my head. It's over. I was playing that right in my head. So that, man, that's good for him to step up and spur that run in the second half. Tennessee outscores Murray State 47-19 in the second half after going into the locker room at halftime trailing 44-35. I mean, they just completely put it on. And that second half, 47-19 kind of feels a little bit too close-ish on the box score for what it really felt like in the second half.
Yeah.
You imposed your will, kind of reminds you a little bit last year. And it really kind of did. Brought a tear to my eye a little bit. I saw Grant tweeting about it, giving love to Jordan Bowden, trying to tease Ja Morant at how hard it is to win in TBA. Ja tried to clap back and said, y'all didn't schedule me when I was there. I'm like, but you left early, though. You know why he left early. Didn't want to get that L at TBA, right?
Yeah, that got something
to do. Yeah, I'll just go with that there, though. Getting some more box score stats here. So I said it was a career-high 26 for Jordan Bowden. Another career-high, back-to-back games. Wee-wee, Eve Pons. Career-high 19. Is Eve Pons an assassin from Beyond the Arc?
Who is this man?
I don't know.
No, like seriously, like I'm asking, like, who is this man? Because I don't know who Bruh is.
He's a man that worked on a shot in the offseason, that's for sure. I mean, the stats might give it to him a little bit right now. As of now, he seems like a three-point assassin. Now, we'll see if averages, you know, bring that back down a little bit. But, I mean, he's been hot. I mean, he's been lights out from the field and three-point. So, he's really getting it done. It's awesome to see him step up, you know, multiple games in a row. And, you know, it's not – doesn't look like it's going to be just a flash in the pan at the beginning of the season. Hopefully, it's consistent. So –
I saw Davey tweet this out, so I'm going to take it from him. I'm saying I saw Davey, so all credit to him. When he got that putback, that tip back miss, that's when I knew Tennessee would win this game. That's when I knew. I was like, I feel better, because that effort, he kind of ignited Lamonte. He ignited, you know, the crowd was back in it. It was just awesome to see, man. Huge play.
And while you mention Lamonte, too, I'll go ahead, since we dropped stats for the points that Bowden and Pons scored. Lamonte was not a huge contributor from scoring, although I tell you what, during the second half run, he put a nice little move on his man.
Did you see that when he cut right and left?
I mean, that's unstoppable. What can you do with that? He only finishes with 5 points, but guys, also adds in 5 rebounds as well. As he's wont to do, he's always in there getting the boards. But the big number, though, 14 assists in a college basketball game. That's very good. That is the most by a Tennessee player, by the way, since LaMarcus Golden. Do y'all know the year?
Oh, that's a great year. It happened, man. It's a great year.
No, I would embarrass myself if I guessed.
1994.
That's why I said it's a great year, man.
Malcolm's year of birth.
Heard a legend was born in that year, man. You said it's before your time.
Slightly.
Grandpa about to get up out this chair. Don't make me feel old, no.
Come on. Power positivity.
Come on now.
Power positivity we talked about yesterday.
Sorry.
Malcolm is another guy born in the middle of the 90s. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. These youngins, they don't understand it.
Gen Zers.
Okay, Zoomers.
Are you a Gen Zer, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Matt definitely is.
Man, so
he's
we're
only
in
sophomore.
Two...
Yeah, he's only sophomore.
2000, baby.
Oh, wow, so I'm a really old man yells at cloud, huh? You what? You're 2000 what?
Yeah. He's 2000.
Yeah, I'm 2000 years
he's
old.
He's Y2K. Yep. He brought about the apocalypse, Y2K.
Does it make you sad that it's impossible for you to live in three different centuries?
Actually, I have already lived through two different centuries because the century starts in 2001.
That's a good point.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's true. Technically,
doesn't start on the 1,000 year?
No.
It's
because
what?
Yeah.
Whatever.
What? You want to explain it, Matt?
That's okay.
Because I know about this, too.
I get it.
Honestly couldn't tell you why, but that's the case. So, yeah, if what? I lived to be 100, I would... Actually, I'd have to be 101, but I could live in three different centuries.
Wait, so does the next decade not start until 2021?
No, so decades are different, but centuries and...
Millenniums?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I thought it was a little more simple than that. Now my mind's kind of broken.
This has been uniform.
No, that's why I'm sitting here. I was trying to give the uniform.
Maybe look it up during the break so we can try to understand this a little bit better.
I didn't mean to pretzel anybody's brain.
No, you really just jammed me up right here.
I feel like Joe Rogan just asked me if I've ever done DMT.
I feel like Kanye West is saying I'm a different animal, same beast. That's what just happened to me just now.
No, that was Kobe.
That was Kobe. Excuse me.
You asked Kanye that.
Yes.
And then Kanye just like, what the. Does that mean, Kobe Bryant? You're welcome. You're welcome.
I was very pleased with zero turnovers combined between Lamonte and Jordan Bowden. After saying that I thought that they... I said that I would be looking for less than 10 combined turnovers between them, and they gave us zero. So that's awesome.
And not to say you didn't have any problems in the first half taking care of the ball, but I felt like for another game, those problems were hard to be found in the second half. I felt like everything started to flow a lot better offensively, especially when Lamonte was just finding people easily. Again, that makes the 14 assists even more impressive when he has a donut in the turnover column.
Can he do this consistently, or is this a flash in the pan?
He's got the ability. I don't know how many times this season we'll see double-digit assists, but I think that you saw in that second half, once you started to just work your offense through the dribble penetration that Lamonte was doing, everything just became so much consistent when it came to finding guys in the best positions to take their shots, and then you were able to get buckets. You were able to just get defensive stop after defensive stop on Murray State. All of those easy shots they were getting, especially from three, they weren't hitting. I even tweeted it out in the first half because it reminded me a lot of games last year, guys, where we would play great defense. I felt like for the most part, we wouldn't slack around on the perimeter. I felt like we would run guys off the three-point line a whole lot, but yet our opponents would just make a bunch of threes.
Yep.
That's what Murray State did in the first half last night. They hit, seven in the first half? Seven or eight? I feel like it was 8 of 14. I feel like it was eight.
I feel like it was eight, too.
But they only finished with 9, though.
Clamps.
See, I felt like it was law of averages. I said, this thing is going to turn around in the second half. If you just still play defense, they're not going to hit 8 again. And they sure as hell did.
47-19. Yeah. Tennessee outscored Murray State in the second half.
So,
yeah, so sorry, I'll share this real quick.
You're good.
But it's so first half Murray State was 8 of 14 from 3. That's second half, 1 of 9. So definitely shut down
law of averages
shooting.
Yeah, law of averages big time. And that came with the fact that you were able, once the switch flipped in that second half, once you got that game tied and once you went on that other run to get up to a 6-point lead, you just controlled the tempo of that game. And Murray State had to try to play at your pace. And Murray State, give them credit, good mid-major team. I forgot they were back-to-back OVC champs. I know they won it with Jaw last year, but
I didn't know they were back-to-back either.
They were back-to-back. I also didn't know that Coach McMahon, their head coach, is from Oak Ridge. I did not know that until I watched the broadcast last night.
What? A lot of good info.
So, yeah, a lot of good info. Shout out to the SEC Network giving that good info.
Nice.
So, even though they are a solid team, they should be a tournament team. They should compete to win the OVC again. Once you were controlling that pace on your home court, where you extended the nation's longest winning streak last night to 28 games, by the way, which is what the Vols did.
How many times did they show that on the bottom of the screen?
A lot.
Get that off the screen, man. Gosh.
They were trying to get the jinx in there.
Trying very, very hard. But guess what? Didn't work.
No, sir.
Did not work. 82-63. There was a point in the game, guys. I was just saying, man, I hope we can, when Murray State was up like 12 in the first half, of course, up by 9 and 10 early in the second half, I was thinking, gosh, I'm not entirely worried we're going to lose this because I know we have an answer in us, but I was hoping that, hey, we can win a gritty, close game. I didn't think we'd end up covering, and then some. We ended up covering the spread, 11.5. It was nice to see that. It's nice to put the hammer down. It's nice for that to be spurned by, in the second half, by Lamonte and Bouton, the two alpha dogs.
They're here now.
I hope last night was something else that just made that type of, we referred to Kobe earlier, Malcolm, Mamba mentality. Kind of needs something like
Bouton that. Bouton might have it, man, especially in that corner three. That's his shot, man. He's
trying to get paid.
He's trying to take it and make it.
He's trying to get paid. He's trying to get a roster spot in some team of the association next year.
Go get it, man.
It's good to see. Other quick stats here. Oh, again, another game Tennessee shoots 50%. It's good to see. You shot over 50% last week against UNC Asheville. Rebounds after, I tell you, another reason Murray State was able to have that lead for as long as they did, they were out rebounding you bad, especially on the offensive glass. You were playing good defense, but they would just keep getting second chance after second chance. You end up out rebounding them 35-34 for the game.
Darnell Cowart, was that his name? Cowart, big dude.
I wanted to say Cowart, but I think it was Cowart.
Man, solid.
He is solid. Definitely solid.
Got some nice feet on him, doesn't he?
I didn't think he'd have those moves.
I didn't either. Got some good feet on him, man.
I didn't think the big man would have those moves. I really did not, though. But he ended up winning the turnover battle as well. Finished with 9 in the game. Forced 13 out of the Racers. Another really good test for this team before they go up to the Great White North on Saturday to take on a top 20 Washington team. Guys, when we come back, talk a little bit more about Tennessee basketball as well. I also want to mention, well, I'll correct myself. We all want to mention another SEC team that was in action last night. Y'all know the ones. Y'all know the ones. It's been a great week up by 75, hasn't it? Such a fantastic week up there. We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll open up the Nextdoor Home Group hotline as well for you all to call in at 865-546-8200. We're going to catch this first break of the program. Overtime continues here on your Wednesday. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Back on Overtime, live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, talking a little bit more about Tennessee's 19-point win over Murray State last night. Fellas, two games in right now. Competition's has got better each week. You had the UNC Asheville game last week, and then, of course, your level of competition got stepped up last night with Murray State. It gets turned up a whole nother notch Saturday, about 5 o'clock tip-off. That's right, 4 or 5 o'clock. One of those two. I don't know. It's the middle of the day on Saturday, though. Tennessee up in Toronto, up in the 6. James Naismith Classic taking on a top 20 Washington Huskies squad. They won last night. They had a sloppy game last night. I caught the final score. The only highlight I saw was, let's see who they were playing last night. Of course, they were playing some West Coast team. Some dude from the team they were playing absolutely posterized a Washington player.
What was it, Mount St. Mary's?
Mount St. Mary's, yeah. 56-46, Washington won that one.
Ew.
So Washington, better squad. They won the Pac-12 last year. Tournament team. They got a lot of solid talent. I do believe they got some young 5-stars on the team as well. And, of course, they got Quade Green, the Kentucky transfer, at point guard, immediately eligible.
Gross.
After playing at Kentucky last year. I've made my complaints about that well known. I'll move on a little bit. So, that game coming up Saturday, two games already taking care of this regular season. How are y'all feeling about the Vols? How are y'all feeling about this year's edition of the Basketballs after last night? Maybe compared to what you thought about going into the season.
I mean, they look better than what I thought they would be. I'm just going to be completely honest, especially with Ponds. This is a pleasant surprise. I thought Lamonte would have a little bit more an offensive prowess when it came to shooting, but everything is in place. The one thing that we did say prior to the season opening up, though, is Rick Barnes' teams, their staple is that they're tough. They are very, very tough, and they have shown toughness in these first two ball games.
Yeah, I like where we're at with, you know, Eve Pons obviously escalating his game. John Fulkerson is the guy that kind of we thought he was, just a little higher level, I guess. He's been consistent, and, you know, he's always going to give you a billion percent effort. Lamonte, I think he'll continue to be a floor general. I don't know if we'll see assists up around 14, you know, every game, because he is going to have to do some scoring. If he has 5 points, if he's not in the double digits, you know, every night, we're going to have problems. But I think he'll continue to do well. I am a little concerned about the low scoring from Josiah James. I mean, he had 32 minutes again last night, only managed 5 points. Now, he hasn't stepped into that true scorer role yet, and he hasn't needed to, but somewhere along the line, hopefully those scoring numbers can go up. And then Olivier Kamwa is coming along nicely, probably faster than I thought he would. He only had 19 minutes, but when he's out there, he's given a lot of effort. He had 7 rebounds and was second on the team, even though he only played 19. So, I like where we're seeing, and like Malcolm said, it's a little bit more confident than I was going in.
I actually just kind of looking at some of this data, feel a little bit better about it than I thought. I think Washington has not really looked like a top 25 team, but they've been given the 20th rank. I'm just curious, what do you guys think ESPN gives Tennessee percentage-wise a chance to win the game according to its BPI?
I'm going to go 45%.
37.6.
Justin, what do you
think? Is it an under 50?
No.
They have 63.
What?
They have Tennessee with a 73.6% chance to win this game.
Bloop.
Okay.
That's
shocking. I love analytics.
I'm really curious to see what analytics are making this think so, but I think what I'm seeing from Washington so far is it looks like they struggle to score a little bit, as we saw from their game against Mount St. Mary's, but they don't really seem to share the ball as much as they should, and it seems like they're having problems rebounding against lesser teams. Now, to be fair, they did play Baylor, who at the time was a top-ranked team, but Washington has yet to score over 70 this season, so I'm sure that's factoring in somehow. I don't really know.
I'm trying to think. Weren't they pretty good at defense last season? But I'm also trying to think that. Well, I know they were good at defense because they had Matisse Thybulle playing for them. He's no longer there.
Yeah,
he's with the Sixers. What's up?
They did let UNC drop 81 on them, though. So, nice. And they put up 59 in return.
They're also a Pac-12 team. And I get they won the regular season last year. I am Pac-12 basketball is bad. And I'm trying not to disrespect Washington, but I'm just trying to think about what they were last year. Now, they could be an entirely different beast this time around here. I'm thinking, just early thoughts on this game, that, of course, we'll have more time to talk about later in the week here. You've had a lot of people, actual national basketball analysts say that they're thinking this could be a very, very physical, low-scoring, grinded-out type of game. I saw Aaron Torres say something similar to that last night.
Yeah.
But don't you think that kind of still plays into Tennessee's favor at this point? I'm still trying to gauge where the entire team is as far as their defensive skill goes, but we just know the brand of Rick Barnes basketball these last few seasons here. So I'm comfortable thinking about it, though. 5 o'clock, by the way, is your tip-off. Here's another pawn stat. So Do you all want to guess how many three-pointers he made all of last season? How many three-pointers did Epons make all of last season?
I'm being generous. Zero. Five.
Okay, Malcolm said five. What'd you say, Matt?
I said zero.
Oh, Justin said zero. Okay, Matt.
Didn't he hit like seven?
You're all under. He actually hit nine. But, my bad here. I misread the stat. He had hit nine his entire career. So actually, one of y'all is probably closer to last season's guess. However, so nine career three-pointers his entire career entering this season. So far in the season's first two games, four.
Wow.
He's had more threes this season than free throws completed.
Yeah, he's still got work on. Well, he also gained to 50%.
He's also only taken like four or five free throws.
Yeah, but he's like career like sub 50 though.
This is true.
Man, Rick Barnes develops another one. If he develops Epons into a consistent scoring threat, I mean that's a wrap.
It's a wrap for sure.
That's absolutely a wrap right there. But Tennessee 2-0, come out, dominate that second half. You clean up pretty much anything that was wrong in the first half. I still like watching this team. I like still trying to gauge the overall identity of this team and watching them continue to try to gel week after week as well with Turner, Bowden being your head honchos, your alphas here. And you saw a little bit more of that manifest last night. Turner facilitating, Bowden just doing Bowden things.
Oh yeah, baller.
And he's had flashes of that in the past. Bowden has, being the scorer when we've needed him to. He's just not done it to the tune of 26 points yet.
Guys are still finding their roles on this team, and it's very exciting, man. I will say, before we do cut, I would love a true five, man. Like Urosh, like. Need him in the worst way.
Isn't that what we're missing right now?
It's going to bite us. It's going to bite us eventually. So I don't know. I don't know what you can do at this point.
Hell, Memphis is playing Wiseman. Just play Urosh.
That's what I say at this point.
Just do it at this point. While you're up, if you need to, like Memphis has, go Knox County Court. Get an injunction. I don't know if you can do an injunction of a waiver being denied.
But he didn't play last year.
But he also didn't play last year.
It's a great point.
Memphis got the L last night anyway.
To Oregon, yeah.
They took that L to Oregon, that's for sure.
He did not play, though, but all but 5 minutes in the first half. So I think if he would have played more, he would have got him, but that's just me.
He did finish with a double-double, but yeah. Memphis took the L. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it all the time. Oh, guys, we're going to hit this next break here. But before we do, this segment's been brought to you by Eli Quorum with the Next Door Home Group. They're with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. That team's been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years because they are very straightforward. They will get the job done with money left in your pocket. They will give you a fun experience whether you are buying the home of your dreams or putting your current house on the market. Eli Quorum has a top-notch team. They got the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, and they have negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the market. To give them a call, it's 865-233-9461, and you can browse their listings and find out everything about the Next Door Home Group at nextdoorhomes.com. To call the Next Door Home Group hotline, it's 865-546-8200. We didn't get to talk about Kentucky. We will talk about Kentucky when we come back. This deserves more time.
It has to be.
Recap what happened up in Lexington last night. Oh, poor Big Blue. Poor Big Blue indeed. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos, but it's playing. Oh, the bluegrass state. Oh, Kentucky. What do you think that fan base's mood's been like the last week now?
I mean, they go from trolling about football, we're going to beat your football team, obviously. They've lost 33 out of last 30. They didn't do that. We still got basketball.
Oh, they beat Michigan State in the Champions Classic, and they thought, oh, yeah, man, got another great team right here. We took down Sparty, Tyrese Maxey, went off. We have all this returning talent like E.J. Montgomery, Nick Richards, Ashton Hagans, Emmanuel Quickly. We got all these guys. We're going to be fine again. It's going to be another Final Four year. And then, well, last night happened. Justin, do we have... Oh, we have it. I didn't think I'd pull this out again this year. Maybe after a basketball win over Kentucky in 2020. We just played this on Monday, reading the salty Kentucky tweets. I think this is just appropriate to recap what happened last night. Last night, guys, Kentucky played host to the Evansville Purple Aces. Without Googling, or if you didn't already know, can y'all just tell me the state Evansville is in?
It's got to be Illinois, isn't it?
Arkansas.
Indiana.
It is Indiana. The enrollment of the University of Evansville, according... Give me 1 second here. According to Wikipedia, their enrollment... Well, if my Google Chrome would not lag right now...
I'm going to guess 5,800.
Oh, it's smaller than that. I'm trying to look at the exact number, but it is just a shade over 2,500. 2,500.
My high school's a little smaller.
It is a private liberal arts school in Evansville, Indiana. Purple Aces basketball. They've not made an NCAA tournament since 1999. They won 11 games last year. Ironically, though, did you all happen to see last night that they are coached by, I'll look at his name here in a second, but they're coached by a guy who was on Kentucky's 1996 national championship team.
Walter McCarty.
First round pick in the NBA, actually. It's his second season coaching Evansville. So, remember, Malcolm, last night on the show, I mentioned something, how he was like tied at 13 the first half.
You did.
And I made some comment about upset alert. That was completely in jest. I did not for the life of me think that Evansville was going to hang on. Do you remember before we left, though, I checked again. Evansville was up 4 at halftime.
Yeah.
I still thought Kentucky was going to come out and smoke them. Kentucky was 25-point favorites. But I kept getting some notifications. Evansville kept leading. Kentucky led for a total of like 5 minutes in this game. So I watched the end at my house, and Evansville held on. 67-64 over the newly crowned this week number one Kentucky Wildcats. Certainly, it's got to be the worst loss in the history of Kentucky basketball for a regular season game, right? Right?
I'd say ever, man. I mean,
I'm not counting some tournament games where they probably got an upset.
Yeah.
Because I think for Kentucky fans, maybe losing to Wisconsin was pretty bad to end the undefeated season. This is bad.
Did you see Cal not even able to look him in the eye? The end?
Salty.
Gosh, man. Look him in the eye. You took the loss like a champ. Go ahead and look him in the eye. Just move on.
Y'all, Kentucky lost to Evansville. Number one Kentucky lost to Evansville. The Purple Aces. What the hell is a Purple Ace?
You tell me, man.
I assume it's like an ace.
Bird?
Maybe a bird. Maybe like an ace pilot. In the Air Force that just is like has his jet painted purple? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's an Air Force base in Evansville.
I don't know. But guys.
Matt, do we have any?
I am currently looking it up, but one of their like secondary logos is a picture of like a World War One era kind of.
Like a biplane?
No, actually, like a guy from like the world. Like, have you ever seen Austin Peay's logo?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Of
okay.
It looks like that a little bit.
Is Austin Peay the governors?
Yes,
they are.
Okay. So I think the Aces. I'm about to look up why.
Malcolm, do you know what the chant of Austin Peay fans is? Right.
I could not tell you.
Let's go Peay.
Let's go Peay.
I'm 5 years old.
I,
laugh. That genuinely made me laugh.
Y'all, this is...
Oh, well, there you go. This is really weird.
Oh, what we got?
They're the Purple Aces, but they're named after... Okay, this is, so their mascot's name is Ace Purple, who is the name of one of their basketball coaches in the 1920s. But now they go by the Purple... This makes no sense. So they go by the Purple Aces. Their mascot's name is Ace Purple, like how we're the Vols, but we have Smokey as our mascot, mm-hmm. who is named after a real person. It became attributed as a nickname to them in the mid-1920s because they beat Louisville in a basketball game in 1924, 59-39. And I guess the coach from Louisville was named Ace Purple. I will do a deep history check on this. I'm just skimming the page.
No, we appreciate the effort. That's where I'm at.
We appreciate that, Matt. You continue to do the deep history dive. I have some facts that I looked up last night, though. So quick facts. Notable alumni of the University of Evansville, Basketball Hall of Fame coach Jerry Sloan. He played at Evansville in the 60s.
Wow.
Another alum of Evansville. Recent Academy Award-winning actor... Rami Malek.
Okay.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Mr. Robot.
Yeah. I don't want the mic to pick that up.
No, it would have been beautiful. It would have been beautiful. Yeah, they're Purple Aces. Also, a little bit of history here. I mean, this definitely isn't a fun fact, but so they made their move to Division One basketball in 1977 for the 77-78 season. Well, in December of 1977, the entire Evansville team, players and coaches, they died in a plane crash.
We are Evansville.
Yeah, kind of like reminiscent of Marshall, basically. First year in D1. They had won 5 national titles in D2. Like recently before that.
That is so crazy.
So which happened first, Evansville or Marshall?
Marshall. Marshall was like 70. This was 77.
Okay. I was going to say, that'd be real stolen valor.
Oh, my God.
For one team to claim and then re-wreck. But
yeah.
Shout out Evansville, though. Taking down the Cats.
They took down the Cats, all right.
So I understand it now. So it said it was attributed to their coach, but it was saying because they beat Louisville after the game, Louisville's coach John Harmon said, quote, "You didn't have 4 aces up your sleeve. You had 5.
So it's more referring to cards.
Yes.
Nice. I love like little nickname history like that.
That was pretty convoluted, but I'm glad you got to the bottom of that.
It was really hurting me that I couldn't figure out what was going on there.
That was a tough story. They need to clean up their origin story a little bit.
Yeah, just slightly. But hey, shout to the Purple Aces, one of the upsets of quite some time. Oh, but Kentucky fans, though. Specifically, again, Matt Jones. It's been rough for him. Gets kicked off his show. Has to eat some humble pie when it comes to Tennessee football. He had the tweet dug up from the Georgia State loss. You want to tell me how the Vols are doing? Hey, Matt, how were the Cats doing Saturday? Hey, Matt, how'd your Cats do last night? Oh, his timeline was a wreck. He was saying this is the worst loss of the Cal era. It's probably the worst loss ever. Yada, yada. Kentucky also paid Evansville $90,000. Not as bad as what we paid Georgia State, but that is football. Payouts are a little bit different. I'll tell you what, though. Kentucky's a fan base that can't say anything about Georgia State.
Oh, I'm ready if they do.
We were 5-7 team. Lost to Georgia State. Unranked. Kentucky was ranked number 1 and lost to Evansville.
You gave us a bad omen, man. You said 5-7. 5-5.
No, we were a 5-7 team.
Oh. Then let me recant my statement. I was wrong, Tanner.
Yeah. It's okay.
You got me paranoid.
No. We were a team coming off a 5-7 season.
Okay.
That's
okay.
What I was
getting. Okay,
to.
We're
okay.
Good.
You're
good.
All good.
I was scared, man.
You're all good. Is Kentucky going to bounce back from this? They probably are, aren't they?
It's Kentucky, man.
I would say yes. Early
Damn
season,
it.
Early season losses don't really matter. I mean, no loss really matters as long as you get into the tournament.
That is true. But man, this is like. This is like super embarrassing.
Definitely. I mean, I'm sure Cal will use it to motivate them for the rest. I mean, they might not have a home loss the rest of the year. I don't know what their schedule looks like, but we don't go there, do we? They come here.
I feel like we're playing home and home again.
Ah,
I think. I'm pretty sure.
But I mean, it'll be bulletin board material. So, I mean, it's hilarious in the moment, and I love that happened to them just because, you know, it's like watching Alabama lose the other day. It's amazing.
Oh, it's just been great to be a Tennessee fan this last week. Not only because of wins that we have, but because you just get to sit back and watch your rivals suffer as well. So that just reminds you to put your cup on, because something bad might be happening to us sometime soon. Who knows? But I'm going to enjoy it while I'm living in the moment. Appreciate the moment.
Appreciate it.
Live in the moment. Live it all the way up. We're living up hour one of overtime here. We're going to close out the first hour when we come back. 865-546-8200 is your number to join the Next Door Home Group hotline. Be back with more after this. Wrapping up hour one of this Wednesday edition of Overtime here, Fan Run Radio. Got some college football news today that was passed along the lines. Pretty important for a late season matchup in the Big Ten specifically here. So Chase Young of Ohio State, the rest of his season was kind of up in question over this eligibility issue here. However, it was announced today that he's going to be suspended one more game against Rutgers.
Come on, man.
Like they need him against Rutgers.
This is the second year in a row I've seen Ohio State face some discipline, and they give up right before the Penn State game. Last year, Urban Meyer suspended for the first three games, conveniently right before that Penn State game that they ended up coming back and winning in. So I'm not surprised. If they're enforcing it, it makes me feel like something they really are sticking to their guns. But Ohio State said, I mean, at least let us play against Penn State. So very Ohio State-like.
Just great fortune to discover this, you know, what do you freaking call it?
The eligibility issue, yeah, the loan issue, because it was him.
Very lucky to discover this issue before, you know, it, you know, cut into any games of, you know, any kind of big games. So, I mean, that's classic Ohio State, though.
He's missing Maryland and Rutgers.
Come on, man. Like, I'd rather him not even miss any games at all. If you're going to do it, do it. If not, don't. Simple as that.
He probably really shouldn't have missed any games because, again, this is what the issue is, that it was the NCAA rules violation about him accepting a loan last year from someone he being Chase Young, described as a family friend. However, he repaid the loan in full, still considered an extra benefit from the NCAA because Young didn't meet the friend until after his recruitment to Ohio State had started. Just, ugh. But that's the NCAA thing there. But the big point is the two games Chase Young is going to miss against two of the bottom feeders of the Big Ten this year. Maryland and Rutgers is going to be back perfect to play for play against Penn State. Rested for a couple of weeks.
Could have added to a sack total, man. Could have got him to New York, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to happen now.
The award might be just Joe's at this point, so we'll see.
Yeah, Burrow really secured that, but also, man, they weren't going to get the Heisman to a defensive player.
Man, they did in 97. But
ever since then, though.
Who am I, man?
Ever since then, they try to find like any excuse to not give it to a defensive player. Yeah. Like, tell me, why did Ndamukong Suh not win it in 2009?
Who? Ingram? Ingram won it. Ingram had a great year, but Suh was different.
How did Toby Gerhardt not win it that year?
Toby was cold.
He really was.
Toby was cold.
Same with
Ty Matthew.
Yeah.
To me.
He got invited, right?
Yeah, he got invited. He got invited.
That was also RG3's year, though. They weren't not going to give that to RG3 for the season he had. And then you had Manti Te'o the next year, but that was Johnny Football. That was a Johnny Football coming out party in 2012.
Manti's girlfriend handed Manziel the award on stage, I thought.
That's crazy. Really?
I didn't see her. Did y'all?
I don't remember that happening.
Me neither. But
Did Manti Te'o's girlfriend have any info on Jeffrey Epstein?
That's where they're chilling right now.
That's the serious questions.
Jeffrey Epstein is somewhere with...
Y'all stop playing, man.
This is serious questions we must ask here on Overtime. Hour number one's finito. Hour two is coming up next. 865-546-8200 is your number to hop on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Be back right after this. God bless you, Mrs. Robinson.